95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest is here to tell us about how she's honoring her sister, who recently passed away. Dr. Sarah Allen is remembering her sister, Susanna, who died after battling breast cancer at the age of 29. And it's taken on a life of its own with celebrities now getting involved. Dr. Allen, thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, tell me about Susanna. This was your sister.
This was my sister. This is my youngest sister. We have another sister in between, so we're each 3 years apart. My sister was, you know, always a youngest child in general. But actually growing up, she went through some tough times. She had a chronic pain disorder growing up called RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy. So in her elementary, middle school years, she was on a lot of pain medications. And then she ended up at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia right here, which really gave her a whole new outlook on life. She changed. Instead of doing medication, she did some physical therapy, pretty intensive physical therapy, and from then on was able to live without the help of pain meds most of the time.
Is your family local? Are you from the Philadelphia area?
Yeah, we're local. We're in South Jersey. Mm-hmm. Okay. She grew up in Mount Laurel. We all grew up in Mount Laurel, went to Lenape High School, and then from there got these treatments at CHOP eventually. And then she was able to do things like college, which was something we weren't sure she was going to be able to do after she was diagnosed with RSD. So she had made this big life after battling this chronic pain disorder as a child.
And she became a counselor.
Yes. Yeah. She became a counselor. She did behavior therapy and counseling for kids with severe autism and other severe disabilities at the very, very early ages.
And that sort of became a passion of hers.
Definitely. This was her whole life, these kids. And she poured every single thing that she had into helping these kids develop the abilities to speak and eat and play and engage with their world in the way that she always believed that they could.
And did she have kids herself?
She didn't have kids herself, but she was always the one that wanted to be a mom, wanted to have a family. And I think in her short lifetime, she was really able to create that family and that life with the kids that she worked with. And I have two children. My other sister has two children. So she was this incredible aunt that would play with them and buy them toys and sit with them and teach them things. And she was always really big on the next developmental level for them.
And she was like the cool aunt.
She was totally the cool aunt. I think the family would kind of like to believe that she got to be a mom. So I mentioned that I have two kids, but before I had those kids, I lost three kids. So I went into labor around 24 weeks with my first and then with a set of twins, and they only lived about an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And Susanna,
you gave birth to all three of them.
I did. Yeah, I gave birth to Jake first, and then within the next year I got pregnant with twins randomly, and then I delivered one and then the other a few days later. And so Susanna was there for all of that, and she distinctly remembers holding Owen, which was my last boy before I had my current children. About a week before Susanna died, she said to me, "I had this dream last night." And this was before we really knew how close we were. She said, "I had this dream last night and I was holding Owen and I can see his face. I can see what he looked like. It was strange. It wasn't like we were in this place, like this heaven or something. It was, we were in a room, but I just felt very, very comfortable." She said, I think that's meaningful. Like, I think that means something. And we kind of didn't really talk about it very much. And then right when we got very close to the ends, I just looked at her and I said, you're going to be a mom. You know, you're going to be a mom to my three children. And I couldn't think of a better person to care for my children that I always think about and wonder how they are. I know they're now okay. So she's probably up there getting to be that mom that she always wanted to be.
You guys went through a lot.
We have been through a lot, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you know, I think that we've learned a lot about coping, a lot about living and dying. I've learned a lot about parenting kids through something like that also, and not shying away from it, but also helping them through that. And I think what we really just figured out is you just live every day in a way that makes you happy. You don't overdo it. You don't go crazy and run around. But when you want to take a trip, you take a trip. When you want to go see a concert, you go see a concert. When you want to say something to someone, you say something to someone. Don't leave things for tomorrow all the time. Yeah. And so
why did you give birth at 24 weeks? Was there a reason?
You know what? I don't think they ever really figured it out. I went into early labor. So they talked, the doctors went back and forth. We ended up just kind of what they said, throwing the kitchen sink at it. So I took some blood thinners. I had progesterone shots every week. They did a cerclage, even though that didn't seem to be the issue. Usually with an incompetent cervix, the baby would kind of fall out, but I would actually go into labor. So we did this whole combination of things, and I got really lucky and it worked. So as unlucky as I was, you know, I got lucky at the same time in having my two kids. And I think that's how we feel with what happened with Susanna. You know, it was so unlucky. She was hit with not just this chronic pain disorder, but lucky that she got to live a life we never thought she could, and unlucky that she had this breast cancer that killed her, but lucky that we all got 18 months to know what we were dealing with. And when she came home, we were all home. All the kids were there. Everyone was around her. We learned so much about our family and the strength of our family and connecting and the importance of connecting. And I think my sister Becca and I now really make huge efforts to see each other often, make sure our children connect and see each other, and just the importance of surrounding yourselves with people that mean a lot to you and do things and be things for the right reasons, because it can just end tomorrow. You know, I had that experience when I had my kids that you think you're going in one direction and suddenly you're not. And then we had that experience with Susanna as well.
Well, it seems like Susanna's lucky, you're lucky, Becca's lucky, your whole family's lucky because you have such a strong family. So even though Susanna's not here, you guys are very lucky to have a family like that that sticks together and can help you through a time like this.
Yes, I think we are.
So tell me about when she was diagnosed. She was diagnosed at the age of 27. How long ago was that?
It was about 18 months from when she died. So she died in August of 2018. So it was about an 18-month process for her.
Which is not that long.
No, when she was diagnosed with metastatic stage 4 breast cancer. So we knew at that point that things weren't looking good. You know, if you look up the lifespan, we knew it was somewhere between 0 and 5 years, we hoped. And she went through a number of different treatments, different chemotherapies, hormone treatments, just nothing really worked for her.
To try to fight it.
I think more to try to prolong her life. We knew it wasn't possible really to get rid of it, but we were hoping that we could kind of give her a longer lifespan.
So how much of that 18 months was she actually able to still live or still had quality of life?
I think the fun thing about Susanna is that she lived life no matter what she was going through. You know, growing up with her chronic pain disorder, she knew how to put pain or put discomfort up in a little box. And she did that. You know, she went to a wedding on a Saturday and died on a Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
So
less than a week before she died, she was at a wedding.
Yeah, she went to a wedding and it was probably one of the highlights of her life, and went with all her friends and her friends' families, and they were lovely to her and she had the most wonderful time. But that was just Susanna. She would just put everything in this box. So I think that she lived through those 18 months. I think she was in pain a lot, going through a lot of chemotherapy, a lot of things she didn't show. But she got out as much as she could. I mean, she was in a stage in her life where all of her friends were getting married. So she made it a point in her life to go to as many of those events as she could. They meant a lot to her. And so, you know, it was a big deal for her to go on that Saturday before she passed. You know, when it happens, I guess we were lucky in the sense that it happened relatively quickly. We didn't know what was going to happen. But she, you know, she went through 18 months of the first chemotherapy, losing her hair, and then after that, just a lot of pain, discomfort. Yeah.
Stage 4. So did she look back, or do you guys look back, and how did she not catch it? I don't want to like put blame on her. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I know what you mean.
You look at state. How does you go in and you're stage 4? Did she then think, oh my gosh, I should have known that's what that was? Or were there not any real signs prior to when she went to the doctors?
Yeah, there really weren't any signs prior to going to. She had a really tough year leading up to that. She had gone through a really, really bad breakup. She'd had a surgery. So she had kind of been in a funny spot. But she also traveled a lot. And with her clients, she had some wonderful clients. She traveled to Austria and to all these different places. And so she'd just come back from one of those trips. And she had felt a lump on her breast. You know, she's so young. So we figured, oh, just go get it checked. But it's probably nothing.
Sure, of course.
And she went and got it checked. And we're lucky that my aunt is in the field. She's a vice president of women's advocacy for ACOG, which is the OBGYN Association, our National OBGYN Association. So she was able to set up a good system for her where she went in and got all the tests she needed at one time, which is almost unheard of. So she went in and they did one test. And they said, you know, we'll just do one test and then we'll let you know. And then they did another test. And she said, oh, I think something's going on. And they did another test. And it became very clear that this was something that was going to snowball for us. We'd had some experience with cancer diagnosis in the past. My mom had had breast cancer and colorectal cancer, not in these stages, but we just kind of assumed it would be that roller coaster of things. And I think my dad said something like, we went from hoping that our child didn't have to have a mastectomy and chemo to hoping our child only had to have a mastectomy and chemo. So it just went very quickly.
So what does that diagnosis and her passing away mean for you and your sister? Because there are two other girls in the family. You said there was a history of it with your mom and your sister passed from it.
Yeah. So I think there's good and bad in this. You know, there was no genetic markers at all. You know, my sister who died, Susanna, had no genetic markers. I had no genetic markers. None of this seems to be genetic. So we don't know exactly where it came from.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, one of Susanna's biggest gifts was helping people. And so as she went through this process, she did everything she could. So she would post pictures on the first of the month for a social media campaign. She'd say hashtag feel it on the first to encourage women to check their breasts, do self-breast exams. She encouraged everybody to get checked and to take a look at themselves early on so they could catch anything, because unfortunately she didn't have any signs that there would be something wrong other than that lump. And just once she found that, she had a kind of a rarer form that just grew quickly.
Tell me how you're remembering her. Tell me about this campaign that has come about and it's kind of snowballing and you didn't think it was going to get this big this quick.
Yeah. You know, I think whenever somebody dies, especially someone so young, and I'm a psychologist by trade too, and I have two children, as I said, my sister has two children. So watching the whole family cope with this, we knew we needed a purpose. And I think Susanna gave us that purpose while she was alive. She was very specific in certain events that she wanted, but more specifically, she wanted to donate to a charity. And St. Jude's was the charity of her choice. She's very passionate about helping children. And as she went through her cancer treatments and the complications of the medical system, she realized that she was lucky in a sense to have resources to be able to get to those appointments and buy food when she was there and have people help her figure it out. My other sister's a nurse practitioner, so she ran most of her medical treatments, just logistics. And after that, she realized, you know, other families shouldn't have to go through this. And so she chose St. Jude's because specifically children, she didn't want children and their families to have to worry about anything other than their cancer treatments when they were going through something like this. So, you know, St. Jude's is such a wonderful charity that no one has to worry about a bill for medical treatments or food or housing or any of that stuff. And so Susanna was really passionate about that. So we all kind of got behind that and started it, honestly, the few days that she was on hospice right before she died. And we had some really great responses. As I said, she worked in New York City and a number of her friends had contacts and she worked for some families. So we were really lucky to have people reach out to her. People like Chrissy Teigen and John Legend reached out. There was Jonathan from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and he actually spoke with her. They exchanged some Instagram videos.
So these people were reaching out through social media?
So some were through social media. In Jonathan's case, he was. And he was so passionate about connecting with her specifically. Then other people we posted them on social media later. They were kind enough to allow us to do that to help raise some money later. But they would send it through friends or however they could get it to her.
So did she know these people?
Some of them she knew. Some of them she worked with their families. Most of them she didn't. For example, Jonathan, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, that was just to show that she absolutely adored and watched when she kind of needed this escape from what she was going through.
And so you guys were reaching out to these celebrities?
Her friends were phenomenal through all of this and really kind of surrounded her. They actually were there right before she died. Susanna was not with us necessarily, but she was still alive. And her friends just came from New York City to New Jersey and sat in that room, toasted to her. Susanna was in a sorority, so they did a couple of their cheers.
Right.
And just really kind of surrounded her with this love.
So where is the campaign now?
So we, through friends, family, and then just people who've been touched by her story, have been able to raise over $100,000 so far, which we are just absolutely amazed at.
And all of that donated to St. Jude's.
And then most recently, one of Susanna's passion was nice clothes and sunglasses and accessories. And she really wanted those to go not only to people who could appreciate them, but for money for people who could appreciate that. So we kind of, she asked us to combine those things. And we had an auction where we auctioned off a lot of her clothes and jewelry and anything that she had. And people were very, very generous. And we raised over $15,000 during that auction for her most recently. What's so great about that is not only the money that we were able to raise for St. Jude's, but also her friends and the people who were purchased those items are posting pictures around New York City, which was a place that she really loved, of these items, of them wearing these items in her memory. So it's nice for us to really be able to see her live on in different ways.
If people want to help, how do they do so? Do you have a website set up or how can they donate?
If you want to keep track of the full event, you can go to fundraising.stjude.org/SusLovesKids. That's SusLoveskids. If you'd like to donate specifically, we have an event open. So you can go to events.stjude.org/SusLovesKids. And, you know, we really raise this money from anything from $1, $5, $10 to larger donations. With Jonathan posting from Queer Eye for us, we've just gotten sometimes strangers have just donated whatever they could afford, whatever they wanted to give. And it's really made this huge difference.
Hmm. Very nice way to honor your sister. I mean, unfortunately, she's not here, and I'm sure everybody wishes she was still here because she sounds like she was a great woman. I understand, you know, having to do something to remember her and honor her and keep her name alive.
Yeah, you know, she was sassy and fun and nosy in the best ways, and she was this therapist that had this way of having people open up to her. She'd sit down on a park bench and just start talking to you and somehow change your life. And I can't tell you the number of stories people emailed us just saying literally that. I met your sister. She sat next to me and she'd come visit me every once in a while she was in town and see my daughter and just hang out and play. Or a story about her when she was in college and how she changed their lives. She was always helping people. She's the one to take all of the girls to the hospital when they needed and call their mothers and make sure they were okay while still out there having just this great time. And so she really lived her life to the fullest and taught us a lot about living and also, I think, a lot about dying.
Your sister sounds like she was an amazing person, and I think it's a great thing that you and your family are doing to honor her. Thank you so much for coming by, Dr. Allen.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.